أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. We continue with our selection of readings from the Hayatul Qulub, the Life of the Hearts, Mawlana Qamru Zaman Ilahabadi. Allah Ta'ala give him long life and protect him. The chapter heading is the objective of tasawwuf is to acquire nisbah with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he explained what nisbah means. Shawliullah al-Muhaddith al-Dihlawi rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala writes in his book At-Tafhimat al-Ilahiyya with reference to nisbah toward Allah Most High. He says the Sufi's affiliation and affinity with Allah Ta'ala is a very great thing, but there is no regard for their customs and practices. What does that mean? There's no regard for their customs and practices. The name of the tariqah, the type of tasbih you carry, the type of topi you have on your head, your taqiyah you have on your head, the type of kurta that you wear, none of these things mean anything. What is the meaning of tasawwuf is what? Is the nisbah with Allah Ta'ala. Again, we'll talk about what does that mean. All the rest of the things, they're just like customs, like somebody likes the Bulls and somebody likes the Pistons and somebody likes the Lakers. It has very little relevance in and of itself with your relationship with Allah. It has very little relevance, you know. Like someone might say, well, what about I own the Lakers and I give all the proceeds of the profits from the Lakers into sadaqah. Okay, maybe then the Lakers mean something more to you and your deen. But in and of itself, it still means nothing. It's something for the use of, it's something like ini, like maqsood li ghayrihi, not maqsood fi dhatihi. And most of us, of course, don't have even that much nisbah through our sports teams with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says what? The Sufi's affiliation and affinity with Allah Ta'ala is a very great thing. Their love for Allah and their bond that connects them to Allah is a very great thing. And there's no regard for their customs and practices. This will weigh heavily on many people. There are many people who say, oh, you're Wahhabi because you said that. Okay, then I'm Wahhabi, I guess. Okay. He says, this will weigh heavily on many people, but Allah Most High has delegated this task to me. Shawliullah is saying that. Has delegated this task to me, and this is why I'll have to speak accordingly. I cannot bother about statements of Zayd and Amr. And it's very funny, the South African translator translates Zayd and Amr as Tom, Dick, and Harry. It doesn't matter what Tom, Dick, and Harry say. I have to say what I have to say. It says, note, the above statement of Shawliullah proves the importance of having nisbah with Allah Most High. Another point which we learn is that we must speak the truth without fear of criticism from anybody. We must speak the truth without fear of criticism from anybody, which is the real tasawwuf, not the hippie, organic green tasawwuf. So he continues the next chapter heading or the next subheading is affinity with Allah is fundamental. The nisbah with Allah is fundamental. Marji' al-tariq. مرجع الطريق كلها إلى تحصيل هيئة نفسانية تسمى عندهم بالنسبة لأنها انتساب وارتباط بالله عز وجل وبالسكينة وبالنور. He quotes Shah Saab as saying that the entire path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it returns to what? To obtaining a state of being. Inside your spirit, inside of your soul, that they call nisbah. Okay, that what nisbah is a state of being inside of the spirit by which they connect and they tie themselves with Allah Most High and with the sakina, with the awareness of the sacred presence and with the light of the sacred presence. So sakina is what? It's used in both in the Quran and also in the previous books of Revelation to describe the holy and sacred presence of Allah Ta'ala that's felt at certain special places, times, occasions, ahwal. It's when the hal comes over somebody. Allah is with you always, even if you're heedless of Him. But sometimes the barrier, the hijab between you and the awareness of it is lifted. And then the sakina comes down and it has a number of strange qualities in it. And through it comes the nasr and the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And through it, a person receives the benefit, the fruits of iman. So he says that this nisbah is what? Your connection with Allah and with the sakina and with the nur, with the light that comes with those things. قال مرشدنا وهذه النسبة لا تحصل إلا بعد انقطاع بعد انقطاع الارتباطات كلها بما سوى الله كذا قال سيدنا الشيخ جنيد رحمه الله تعالى اتصال الحق بقدر الانفصال عن الخلق. Shawliullah, he says that my sheikh, and I believe this is a reference to his father Shah Abdul Rahim. He said, my sheikh and my murshid, my guide, told me that this nisbah, this connection with Allah Ta'ala, through which a person connects himself with Allah and with his sakina and with his nur, this nisbah isn't obtained except for after cutting ties with everything else other than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's not obtained except for after you cut ties with everything other than Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. He said this is the same thing that our Sheikh Sheikh Junaid Al Baghdadi, the Sheikh Junaid Al Baghdadi, the Tawus Al Tariqa, the peacock of the path to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. He said that your connection with Allah Taala will be commensurate with your how cut off you are with the creation. The more cut off you are from the creation, the more connected you will be with Allah, and the more connected you are with the creation, the more cut off you will be from Allah Ta'ala. Sheikh Sa'di Shirazi rahimahullah ta'ala said, the outcome of futile relationships is nothing but futility. Once you break those relationships, you will reach Allah. Sa'di Shirazi is one of the canonical poets of the Persian language. Persian, mashallah, there's a lot of reference to Persian, mashallah. Our brothers probably feel a little uncomfortable. They think we came to like the bid'ah place or whatever. These people are, mashallah, they're the flag bearers of the sunnah. And if you want to talk about somebody who understood the tradition, a group of people who understood the tradition and translated it into their culture, into their time, and their context, these people are the masters, they're the pros. They did it without watering it down. And so you'll see that actually from the canonical poets of the Persian language, that are held to this day as being like the top shelf, every single one of them is Sunni. Every single one of them is Sunni, despite Iran and Persia in particular as a part of the country of Iran having been ruled by like a fanatical regime of Rawafid for the last probably at least 400 or 500 years. Like to the point where there's no, like, Sunnis don't have a masjid in Tehran. Like that's how fanatical it is. There's a lot of propaganda that goes on outside, and you know, there are people obviously who fan the flames of sectarianism on all sides. But this is something that is just PR. This is just PR that somehow it's anything other than that. But their kalam was so beautiful in terms of describing the path to Allah Ta'ala and the beauty of the love of Allah Ta'ala that they couldn't jettison them. Still, even though the Rawafid, as a point of aqidah, consider the Sunnis all to be munafiqeen, they can't help but quote Rumi and Sheikh Sa'di and Hafiz, etc., because of the beauty of their kalam. So he says, the outcome of futile relationships is nothing but futility. Once you break those relationships, you'll reach Allah. Shawliullah continues. He says, وَلَا تَظُنَّ أَنَّ النِّسْبَةَ تُحْصَلُ إِلَّا بِهَذِهِ الْأَشْغَالِ. Don't think that you're going to reach nisbah or obtain nisbah except for with these different difficulties and tasks that you're charged with. بل هذه طرق طرق لتحصيلها من غير حصر فيها. Rather, there are so many ways to obtain the nisbah, you cannot enumerate them. وغالب الرأي عندي أن الصحابة والتابعين كانوا يحصلون السكينة بطرق أخرى. He says that my preponderant guess is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to actually obtain the nisbah through means other than the ones that we generally think of nowadays. Because we talk about the tariqah has become, he's talking about formal custom and practice that you have to take a shaykh, you grab the tasbih, you say the specific weird and things like that. And that's also a way of obtaining the nisbah. But he says, I feel like that they also obtained it through other ways, ways that we're unfamiliar or heedless of culturally nowadays. فَمِنْهَا الْمُعَظَبَةُ عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالتَّسْبِيحَاتِ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ مَعَ الْمُحَافَظَةِ عَلَى شَرِيطَةِ الْخُشُوعِ وَالْحُضُورِ. So amongst them is just being very very punctual with your prayers and with your adhkar in khalwa without anyone else present. On the condition of a person having khushu' and hudur, that they have humility and they have presence when they're doing it. And this may seem like something very normal, but people don't do these things. People will skip or miss prayers. Just the idea in your head that the prayer on time is negotiable itself is it takes a great deal of the value of the prayer away from it. The idea that something could happen and I would skip, miss my prayer for it, that itself takes a great deal of the value of the prayer out of it. The idea that we don't pray until other people are around. Or maybe if we're really pious, we'll pray the fard when nobody else is around, but we'll skip the sunan and we'll skip the tasbihat and we'll skip the awrad. A person should say their adhkar commensurate to what they want from Allah Ta'ala. If they want their tie to be with Allah heavy, then they should say it more. And if they want their Allah Ta'ala to be looking after them constantly, then they should also be making the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala constantly. And there are ways of making yourself do that. There are exercises where people will hear the name of Allah Ta'ala in their every breath until it becomes like a second nature. And many other exercises that may seem at first, a person thinks that this is not from the sunnah, where did this come from? And I don't think that's entirely true, but even if we were to accept it for a moment that it's not from the sunnah, the idea is what it's a means. It's not an end in and of itself. It's a means to what? To have the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in every moment. Which is definitely a sunnah. It's not only a sunnah, it's a commandment of the book of Allah Ta'ala. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِ وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْعَصَالِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Right? وَذْكُرْ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ وَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. عَفْوًا. I apologize for just, by the way, this is like a no-brainer. If there's a mistake in an ayah, then just correct it, any of you, inshallah. But Allah Ta'ala commands in the end of the Suratul A'raf to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is a surah which is consoling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at his people's rejection and chastising them at their rejection and telling the stories of the outcomes of all of the different aqwam and their destruction from before through, you know, what the outcome was for their rejection of this message. And at the end, Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, just take some strength and know that you'll come out on top at the end of this when he feels the overwhelmingness of the task at hand. So you see, like, you know, إِنَّ وَلِيَّ اللَّهُ إِنَّ وَلِيَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. It comes at the end of that surah that indeed my protector is Allah who sent down the book, and he's the one who he's friends with the salihin, with the people of righteousness. So also Allah Ta'ala gives us this from amongst a number of things like this to tell the Prophet ﷺ how to drive strength, the strength he's going to need to get through his work. He says that remember your Lord in humility and fear in the morning, وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ فِي نَفْسِكَ, inside of your very core, in a way that's even more subtle than spoken words. Meaning it's a feeling, a kafiya that you keep with yourself. It's the nisba, kamila, that a person, بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْعَصَالِ by day and by night. وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And don't ever be heedless of it. Don't ever be heedless of it. So the more a person wants Allah Ta'ala's help, then the more that they should say the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And if they want it all the time, then they should remember that Allah Ta'ala is the one who says, أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرِنِي. I'm with the one, I'm the companion of the one who remembers me. So he says some of them, because of their constant awareness of the salat and their constant glorification of Allah Ta'ala and their dhikr, when separated from others, on the condition of doing so with khushu'. Khushu' means what? It means humility and awe. It means stillness. That your eyes should not move and that your body shouldn't move. That you should be in awe. If a person were in the company of some big shot of the dunya, they would be still. They wouldn't fidget around. So a person who's aware of the presence of Allah, whether he's aware of it or not, it's still there. But once a person becomes aware of it, it becomes still. And whoever's prayed Salat next to me, Taraweeh, no, I fidget a lot. And so you can't blame my son for it too much because he, you know, he does that a little bit too. It's like, but the idea is what? Is that a person, those moments when they're aware of what's going on in the Salat, it causes even a person who wants to fidget to stop fidgeting. And so he says, "Wominha," but he says that's not it. He says, "Wominha," from amongst them is al-muadhabatu ala taharati, is what, is staying on tahara all the time. This is one thing that people again they don't talk about and they don't think about, because they think about wudu as some sort of like just annoyance to get it out of the way before we do the fard prayer, which is also then treated like an annoyance to get out of the way. Just the idea that a person thinks to himself, am I on tahara or not? That's a type of zikr as well. It's a type of muraqabah. It's a type of meditation. Keeping your tahara, staying on purity, renewing your wudu, staying clean, keeping yourself clean. The more filth the person has on them or with them, whether it's in their hal, like being in janaba or outside of wudu, or whether it's like physical impurity, like najasa on their clothes, etc., the more access shaitan has to them. And the cleaner they are, the less access shaitan has to them. And just the remembrance, just the idea of am I on tahara itself is a remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, because there's no benefit in it except for it comes from the commandments of the Sharia. And so that's the athar, لا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا المؤمنون, that nobody will guard being in a state of wudu except for the people who believe. And Maulana Faraz in Minneapolis, he mentioned that this happened with Sheikh al-Hind one time, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was one of the great mashayikh of our akabir, that he once was traveling and he saw another young man, like a farmer, and he asked him, he said, have you prayed yet? He says, no, I haven't. He says, why don't we pray together? It's us or time or whatever. And so he says, let's pray. And he says, I was astonished by the young man. I asked him, do you have wudu? And he says, is a believer ever without wudu? So this is also people. Some people will get nisba through that, and that's not an exaggeration of the Sufis. Which sheikh of the Sufis said, "Inna Allaha yuhibbul tawabina wa yuhibbul mutatahirin." It's actually a verse of the Quran. Allah loves the people who are habitual in their repentance to Him, and He loves the people who are intense in their purification. Wa dhikru hadim al-ladhat, that some people will receive nisba through remembering the destroyer of pleasures, which is death. So there is a healthy part of remembering death, although literally it is being morbid, but it's not as we use the word morbid. In fact, it can enhance the quality of your life quite a bit to remember that all of this is going to leave you one day. Even if you make all the right choices, even if you eat broccoli every day, even if you exercise and cut out saturated fats and cardiovascular, aerobic, organic, all that stuff, you're still going to die. وَمَا أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لِلْمُطِيعِينَ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ وَالْعَاصِينَ وَلِلْعَاصِينَ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ, the remembrance of what Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the those who are obedient in reward, or those who are disobedient in torment. فَيَحْصُلُ انْفِكَاكٌ عَنِ اللَّذَّاتِ الْحِسِّيَّةِ وَالْإِنْقِلَاعُ وَالْإِنْقِلَاعَ عَنْهَا. He says that through these things a person will obtain infikak, means like, you know how like you unbuckle your belt, right? You'll unbuckle, you'll be freed of what? You'll be unbuckled from the slavery of the pleasures of the senses, and you will lift in khila, you'll like lift off from them. This doesn't mean it happens immediately, and it doesn't mean it happens completely. The dalil is what? Is that even the Anbiya alayhi salam used to enjoy Also, things that are like, things that are like human enjoyments or carnal enjoyments. But the meaning of al-infikak is that they no longer, you're no longer slave to them. And the meaning of the infikak is what? Is that you're in the inqila is what? Is that you're no longer defined by them. You no longer define yourself by your consumption. Rather, it's something that's in your control. And you obviously have to actively keep, A, you have to work on it. It doesn't happen right away. It takes years, it takes decades sometimes. Some people are like, I've been doing this for like the last whatever 2 months and it's not working. It takes years, even to die. And the thing is, even to die trying, that's a very high maqam with Allah Ta'ala. Some people will die and they'll never get there. But the fact that they died trying means that they die in the state of the wilaya of Allah Ta'ala. And those who get it, oftentimes it takes a lifetime. It takes most people to become gray bearded by the time, their body becomes weak, then they start to see it. But, if it takes that much effort, then you should get working on it. And in the middle, it's not like it's a complete waste. Like once you get it, until then you're completely wasted. No, it's you benefit from it along the way as well. And so he says, what is that a person will receive? So don't make your, don't make your the soul storybook that one day you wake up and your room smells like itter and you see light, and then after that, your feet don't touch the floor when you walk anymore. It's not like that. It's like gradual process. And if you make it 100%, alhamdulillah, good for you. Make dua for me. And if you don't, the only failure on this path is the one who doesn't try. والمواظبة على تلاوة الكتاب والتدبر فيه واستماع كلام الواعظ وما من الحديث من الرقاق. He says that some of them will receive it through the recitation of the Quran, and some of them will receive it through listening to the words of advice of the preachers. The sincere preachers, and some of them will receive it through those sayings, both from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those stories that soften the heart. There's an entire genre of riqaq literature, and there are chapters of riqaq in the books of hadith, which are literally those things that soften the heart. وبالجملة فكانوا يواظبون على هذه الأشياء مدة كثيرة فتحصل ملكة ملكة فتحصل ملكة راسخة وهيئة نفسانية فيحافظون عليها بقية العمر. And that a person, to summarize, that they used to pick one of these things or some of these things or a bunch of these things and stick to them without leaving them for very long periods of time. And then they would obtain a type of firm mastery and state inside of their soul through it. And they would then be on that state for the rest of their lives. And so it does take a lot of work in the beginning, but once a person receives the nisbah inside of them, then they benefit from it for the rest of their life. And there is something to be said about that. That it becomes a habit, right? لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبع لما جئت به. This is a marhala from the marahil of that state. That one of you will not perfect their belief until their desires become conformant with that which I brought. That a person, once they receive nisbah inside of their hearts, they're still a human being for sure, but there's something like permanently altered for the better inside of their heart, and they can't lose it until and unless they deliberately jettison it. Unless they deliberately turn their back on it. It's not going to leave them. It's something that they keep, and it's a benefit for them in this world and the hereafter. وهذا المعنى هو المتوارث أو المتوارث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says this reality is what has been received to us from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم through the path of our مشايخ من طريق مشايخنا. لا شك في ذلك وإن اختلف الألوان واختلف طرق تحصيلها. There's no doubt in that. Even though we say that the different colors or the different dispositions of how this is transmitted to different people varies, and the different ways of obtaining it may vary, just like different people have different dispositions inside of them. Hakim al-Ummah Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah ta'ala says that the reality is that nisba is in its broadest meaning an affiliation with Allah Most High. Based on this general meaning, even a flagrant sinner and immoral person is a person of nisba. This is because his affiliation with Allah Most High is affirmed merely on the basis of having iman, which is something I fear that the inverse meaning of this is like more relevant to the time and the age we live in. That in that time, even the sinners were people who had some sort of nisba with Allah Ta'ala. A person is a drunkard, a person is lazy, a person is, you know, involved in things that they're not supposed to be involved in. But it doesn't occur to them. It doesn't occur to them that, like, Allah, you know, they don't think that, like, does Allah exist, or, you know, is Islam all made up, or this? They're just like, yeah, there's an Islam and we're bad people, but Islam is a good thing. And there are people like that even to this day. I remember when I first read, like in like maybe 2004 or something like that, I read an article about Dave Chappelle. You know, like he just disappeared from his comedy routine. And they're like, oh, he's a Muslim. I'm like, yeah, right. How is this guy going to be Muslim, right? I used to watch the Chappelle show, Allah mafkare. I used to watch the Chappelle show and laugh at it and think this guy is some sort of jinn or shaitan. Like, because some of the skits are not even funny. They just make you laugh like uncontrollably, and you're like, what is this ajib, like adab, torment, like type of laughter that you laugh when you see this like weird thing that just happened, you know? So I was like, yeah, you know, Allahu Alam, maybe he's like nation or something like that, you know? And then there's an interview, I was reading it, and then in it, the interviewer asked, why didn't you ever tell anyone before that you're Muslim? He said, because Islam is such a beautiful thing, and I didn't want people to associate the work that I do with it. And I was like, oh, dude, this guy is a Muslim, mashallah, you know? So that's what he's talking about. Otherwise, the inverse case is possible also, that you may see people with beards and with turbans and with head coverings, male and female, and with, you know, with the outward trappings of deen. And inside, it's like there's no lights on, which is very scary. That people don't have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't have any veneration for this deen. They have no nisbah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Legally, we're not allowed to suspect that about people. But it does happen. Oftentimes at their khatima, you'll see these things manifest from people. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this is the shi'ar of the Khawarij. That they yamriquna min ad-deen kama yamriqu as-sahmu min ar-rami. That they will enter and exit the deen like an arrow that flies straight through the prey. Mm-hmm. Like arrow travels really fast. So it will stay inside the prey a very short amount of time. So they'll somehow formally accept the deen and they'll be gone again. And they'll have all the outward signs and trappings of the deen. But there's no permanence to it. And that khariji mentality, it's not just ISIS. Although those people are crazy and they seem to be like whatever, the gold medal winners. But there's other ways of it manifesting itself. There's other ways it manifests itself. Like somebody, for example, there's some people, you know, like we have a barrier between the men's section and the women's section. Okay, some people feel very strongly there shouldn't be a barrier. At the most, whether the barrier is there or not, it's a fiqh issue. It's not an aqidah issue. But some people will be like, oh, you know, you have this wall and it's completely like patriarchal, super oppression, this, that, and the other. They make it into like a haq and batil issue. What is it? It's because the madar of the iman is not connected to what the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are. It's connected to someone else. Otherwise, the maximum you would say, and people fight about all sorts of things. Oh, you didn't say Ameen out loud, you're bid'ah. Or you said it out loud, you're bid'ah. Or you moved your finger too much in the salat, so we're going to go cut it off. You know, this happens. You don't go to Afghanistan if you're Shafi'i. It's, you know, we'll break your finger, you know. This is not what the deen Allah Ta'ala sent down is. So what happens is the deen will be used as a cover in order to demonstrate this lack of nisbah in weird ways. So know that it happens the other way around. But even a fasiq shouldn't give up hope. If they have love for Allah Ta'ala, they still have some nisbah with Allah. But that's not what the Sufis are talking about. They're saying about taking it to its perfection, what it's supposed to be, rather than like, you know, driving your car around with like two spare tires on or something like that. The spiritual equivalent thereof. And the definition of the Sufi's nisbat refers to the bond with Allah Ta'ala for which two things are vital. One is a constant remembrance of Allah Most High, and two is the continuous obedience to Him. Without these two, the nisbah as defined by Sufis cannot be realized, not within one's own personal choice. Rather, it's mu'udatu tarattub ala al-umur al-ikhtiyariya. So it might be there, but if you want to obtain it through your, if you want to initiate its obtaining through your own actions, sometimes it happens through things that are not your choice. Right? You get hit by a car and you're in the you know, whatever intensive care unit, and then like the last 2 days of your life, you become very religious. This happens, right? Weird and highly painful and like traumatic experiences will oftentimes take a person from being like a very profligate person to being a wali of Allah without your choice happening. So those types of things can happen, but you don't plan for that because you don't know. You could also be like doing something really bad and then die all of a sudden, and that's your bad end right there. Right? Those things are outside of your choice. The way that you can be on the path toward that, which is through your choice, is what? Is through maintaining the constant remembrance of Allah and the constant obedience to Allah Ta'ala's command. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah Ta'ala says that a person will not obtain anything except for the thing that they strive from. فَكَأَنَّهَا اخْتِيَارِيَةٌ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَىٰ أَنَّ كَثْرَةَ الذِّكْرِ وَالْمُحَافَظَةِ عَلَىٰ الْعِبَادَةِ أَمْرَانِ اخْتِيَارِيَانِ لِأَنَّ صُدُورَهُمَا عَنِ الْإِخْتِيَارِ مِنَ الْبَدِيهِيَاتِ الْأَوَّلِيَّةِ. So it's as if it's not a secret from anyone that making zikr in abundance, remembering Allah constantly, and guarding, protecting one's slavehood by observing the sharia are two matters that a person can choose, because the fact that they're within one's personal choice is obvious to everybody. So through the above defined type of nisbah, a seeker develops such a strong and deep bond with Allah Most High that it is rarely neglected in quality nor quantity. يَكُونُ صَاحِبُ النِّسْبَةِ الْعَاشِقُ الْمُولِعُ فِي عَدَمِ النِّسْيَانِ وَعَدَمِ الذُّهُولِ فِي الْإِتِمَارِ بِالْأَوَامِرِ وَالْإِنْتِهَاءِ عَنِ النَّوَاهِي. The person who has nisbah is a completely drowned lover who never forgets and never is heedless, and he's completely immersed in obeying the commandments and staying away from prohibitions. In short, a person of nisbah, one of the signs of the nisbah is that they have a natural aversion toward acting against the deen, as general believers have a rational aversion towards it. This is, you understand what he says? What he says, that in short, the person of nisbah has a natural aversion toward acting against the deen, as the general believers have a rational aversion to it. That this is, you know, when someone hears like the words so and so has the sahib al-shari'a wal-haqiqa, you know, people think like, with the sharia part I get, the haqiqa is some like mystical weed smoking you know, idea that the Sufis made up, that's like some other thing, like, okay, fine, like I pray five times a day, now I have to see like a dream of angels, otherwise like whatever, I'm not in the hippie club, you know. That's not what it is. The two things, they go hand in hand. They're like same, you know, the two sides of the same coin. That the knowledge of the sharia is so you can know what to dislike, and the obtaining of the haqiqah, or the ma'rifah of the haqiqah, is that you actually dislike it. Which it should be easy for a person to understand how you're never going to be able to actually follow the sharia until the haqiqah enters into your heart, the ma'rifah enters into your heart. Because you can know something is haram, but still not stay away from it. Like, rationally, you can understand like why committing zina is going to like destroy your nasab, and you're going to get AIDS, and you're going to this and that, all these things. But like, you know, there are people who know all those things, and they still agree with you even if you ask them. But how are they going to stay away from it? There are people who know that like getting drunk is not good for your liver, you know, and it's going to probably cause you a car accident on your way home, and it's going to cause you get into a fight with your spouse and with your family members and break things. And like just yesterday, right? These people are crazy. Hayawan, they're all hayawana. They should come and like sit in maktab and learn how to be a human being. The vice chancellor of Austria. And we're talking about a very mutakabbir qawm. Individuals may be nice people, but like, in general, my friend, one of my friends went to an Austrian school in a Muslim country, you know, the colonial weird schools. He said, I had to go to Austrian school, high school, so we spoke German and everything. He says, one time I got upset at the teachers, and so I got in big trouble because I told them the Austrians have two big achievements. One is convincing everybody that Mozart was Austrian, even though he was actually German, and the other is convincing everybody that Hitler was German, even though he was actually an Austrian. The Austrian vice chancellor just yesterday got put on tape because he got drunk and he was trying to impress a girl, and so he boasted that he'll sell like state secrets to Russia through her or something stupid like that, you know. And like, what is it? It's like, yeah, rationally he knows it's a dumb idea. Afterward, he gave a very complete and thorough apology before like resigning from his post. But the fact that he knows that it's a dumb thing to do, it didn't allow him to stop himself from it. Now we live in an age where people don't even get the knowledge of what the Sharia is, but there are some people who are fooled into thinking once you know what the Sharia is, you're going to be able to benefit from it. Until the haqiqah enters into your heart, you will be in this weird situation where you know what's right and wrong, but you're not going to be able to bring yourself in order to come in line with it. So it should be like we said yesterday, like we were talking about the time-wasting things, the 10 things are a waste of time, that if you have the knowledge and you're not going to even be able to practice it, it should be common sense to you why the haqiqah has to come with the sharia. Now do you understand why I'm not excited about people who like, oh look, I'm going to go learn my Islam from like a whatever kafir at the university? Doesn't mean that the kafir at the university doesn't necessarily know a lot about Islam. In general in America, it doesn't mean that they don't know a whole lot about anything. They're very bad Arabic and very just incompetent, sloppy work. But the old mustashrikeen like Nicholson and Arbery and people like that, those guys were like, I mean, they really knew their stuff. But still, what's the benefit if you write a tabaqa of all of the awliya and you're not going to be even able to be at their feet in Jannah, much less at their level in the hereafter? Allah Ta'ala protect all of us. Allah Ta'ala give us from the knowledge and from the haqiqah what we need in order to make it in this world and in the hereafter, and give us khatima and iman and nisba to him, and cut off the nisba to all things that are a waste of time, because they'll only end in time being wasted. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.